Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
We worship you this day, Lord.
on. Bible reflections tonight, we're looking at an interesting topic. In the land of my affliction, God has prospered me. And that's something that I don't think many of us look at, how God literally prospers us in a place that most would look at and deny God's evidence. But Joseph said that in the land of his affliction, God had prospered him. And then in Genesis 26:12, it says that there was a famine in the land. Then Isaac sowed in that land in spite of famine and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything you do. And I started following the tag of prosperity and asking myself, you know, what is prosperity? And the dictionary states that prosperity is the state of being prosperous, a long period of prosperity. And the synonyms means success, profitability, affluence, wealth, opulence, luxury, the good life, milk and honey, good fortune, ease, plenty, comfort, security, well-being. She deserves, as an example, it says she deserves all the prosperity she now enjoys. And I wasn't quite satisfied, because when I looked at it and I kept thinking to myself, there has to be something with, it seems like, the controversy and the battles that you go in when people start talking about God's prosperity. But I was meditating and reading on another scripture where it says that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light in terms of how they handle their business and how they're shrewd in their business sense. And just still looking through, I found a couple of things that Apostle Eckhart wrote about. And I'll share that with you, because as I looked at that and I'm a little satisfied, but I'm still looking for more with regards to being and seeing God's prosperity in a sense of the whole circle. And I'll share this with you, what I found. He stated that the subject of blessing and prosperity has become very controversial among those in the church. We want to be blessed and live the abundant life Christ died to give us. Yet we don't want to approach God as if he is a lottery or slot machine. If you put in the right amount of prayer, praise, worship, faith, and good work, out comes your blessing. But for some, that is all they see God as. And they get beside themselves when he doesn't come through the way they want him to come through or the way they think he should come through. He said that blessing and prosperity are more than money. According to Strong's Complete Concordance of the Bible, one Hebrew word for prosperity is shalom. And we often associate the word shalom with peace, but the peace that Christ went to war for on the cross is complete, whole kind of peace. And according to Strong's, shalom is completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace. It represents completeness in the number, safety, and soundness in your physical body. Shalom also covers relationships with God and with people. God's thoughts concerning your peace and prosperity are much higher than you could imagine. It is his desire to bless and prosper you and to give you his grace, favor, and protection. Favor means, let's get this down, favor means grace. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, and goodwill, benefit, bounty, reward. If you look up the Hebrew word and the Greek definition of prosperity, many of those words carry over into favor as well. Favor is goodwill. This is God's kindness and benevolence given to those who love him. Favor will release great blessings, including prosperity, health, opportunity, and advancement. The Bible records numerous examples of God's favor upon his people, causing them to experience many breakthroughs. Favor is God's loving kindness. We see Joseph. Joseph experienced God's favor and went from prison to palace. God will do the same for you. He can change your circumstances in a day, in an hour, no matter where you are in your life. This is where the favor of God is on your life. And we meditated on that for a little while, and we began to see how God's favor does not matter whether you're in prison or out of prison. It doesn't matter if you're in the worst set of circumstances. When God decides to surround you with favor, and the Word of God says he does, that he surrounds us with favor as a shield. So no matter what you're going through, you can't gauge what you're going through and compare it to God's favor, because God's favor is there. It becomes almost a joke, because I think if Joseph lived in this day and the silly things people say, how would they look at Joseph's life and decide whether or not he was blessed? He's told the dreams, and now all of a sudden he's been sold into slavery. All of a sudden he's no longer with the family. It's like he vanished. And 12 brothers had a part of it, but their father didn't know it. And so we're seeing something unfold with reason to God's mercy, God's loving kindness, and how God works in the affairs of men. And sometimes they don't even realize or recognize his hand. And Joseph was still having prosperity in prison, because in prison he became the head. In prison, the captain of the prison gave him the authority to do as he had seen in him as a leader. And so we keep looking at this thing called prosperity. Joseph, let's get back to Joseph. Joseph experienced God's favor and went from prison to palace, as we said. God will do the same for you. And we look at Job. Job was another man who was blessed and who operated under the full favor and blessings of God. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. That's Job 10:12. Life and favor are God's gifts. We don't need luck. We need blessings. We need favor. God desires to release new favor on your life and my life. When you have God's favor and blessing, there's nothing in life that can hold you down, because you know that irregardless of the circumstances you may be in, may be going through, that God has you. He has your back. He has you in the palm of his hand, and he's surrounded you with favor. His goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. When you begin to walk in the favor and blessing of the Lord, others will recognize it. They will see something different about you. The favor and blessing of God on your life is one of the most powerful things you can have. And sometimes it becomes so interesting, because people think that because there is no trouble, that you are walking prosperous and things are going well. But again, I go back to Job. I go back to Isaac. I go back to Joseph. If we look at those lives and it were modern day, we would have an issue with it. But those that know God, those that know God personally and are able to discern and able to discern God's ways, know that even though someone may be going through the roughest patch in their lives, if God has spoken over their lives, God, we need to see this thing, because God gave Joseph a vision. And he saw his mom and dad bowing down to him. He saw his siblings serving him. So when the test began to happen and he was going through, you would have to believe that at some point he began to realize. And you have to see that he did realize it, because he said that even in the place of the land of his affliction, God had blessed him. So he saw God's hand that, irregardless to him being in prison and what brought him to prison, he recognized that God's hand was upon him to make him a blessing wherever he was. When you begin to walk in the favor and blessings of God, others will recognize it. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Then protection. Let's talk about that. Protection was also added to Job. "I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth." Job 29:17. When the enemy set out to destroy Job, he had weapons to fight back. When he claimed the potential spoils of victory, God says, "You don't need money. You need my favor. You need his shalom, the full measure of peace to operate in your life. This is your gift from him." And again, this is Apostle Eckhart that we're looking at tonight, excerpts from his sermon on prosperity, the meaning of prosperity and blessing. And I hope you're gleaning something from this. Apostle Eckhart usually shares some very powerful insights. And he goes on and he says, God says, "You don't need money. You need favor. You need his shalom, the full measure of peace to operate in your life. This is your gift from him if you are his child, if you are in covenant with him, just as he did with the Israelites. God loved you and chose you despite who you are and what you have done, and what you are doing even now. You are elected by God. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. It wasn't because of anything you've done. That is his favor. It's nothing you can do, nothing you can conjure up or think up. It's just because of his awesome, awesome favor." Then he goes on and he says, God talks to the children of Israel in Ezekiel 16:1-14 about how he found them in a rejected state. But when God passed by them, he said, "Live." Then he blessed them and adorned them with jewels. God is saying the same thing to you, that maybe you were thrown away to die. Maybe you had no chance at living. Maybe people gave up on you. Maybe no one wanted you. You were rejected. But when God looked upon you, he had mercy. He literally looked upon you, and the first thing that came out of his mouth was "Live." God never leaves us the way that he finds us. We're having our live recording right now, and we have about a few more minutes before we go into our recording mode. But I just want you to understand that the land of your affliction does not mean that God will not prosper you. As your eyes are open to see around you that God is causing all things to work together for your good, you will begin to recognize in your land of affliction, God is causing you to prosper. We'll be right back.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
because you alone are worthy of the highest praise. Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you.
As we looked at Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And protection, again, as we said, was also added to Job, and literally where he made the statement that he broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth. And he goes on just a little ways, and he talks about God says, you don't need money. You need favor. You need his shalom. And that shalom is that nothing is broken, nothing is missing, and the grace and favor of God is on your life and will cause you to go into prosperity. God is ready, he states, to release new favor, new blessing, new prosperity, and new protection and peace over you. It is his desire to give good things. He says it plainly that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And we've been sharing tonight from Apostle Eckhart with regards to the real meaning of blessing. You know, what it is and what it is not. Because so many times we get it twisted when we think it's one thing and God is literally saying and wanting to do something totally different, but because we boxed him in, we don't seem to recognize him when he comes through and he makes his ways known unto us so that we will know who he is. And don't forget favor is goodwill. This is God's kindness and benevolence given to those who love him. Favor will release great blessings, including prosperity, health, opportunity, and advancement. The Bible records numerous examples of God's favor upon his people, causing them to experience many breakthroughs. Favor is God's loving kindness. And so many times people, God was blessing one way, and we have to recognize that that's God's hand and that God is blessing in such a way that the witness, it's the witness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the witness of who he is and the God of integrity that he is, that no matter what's going on in your life, if God has said that he will prosper you, he will prosper you. God is not the author of confusion. God is the author and the finisher of peace. And we must remember that we've got to tie that down, what real blessing and real prosperity is, so that we won't miss it, so that we won't look back and be longing for something that we thought was God's way of speaking prosperity when it was actually not God at all. God's thoughts concerning our peace and prosperity is so much higher. So much higher than what we experience, because we tie God and place him into a box, and we have no idea what we have done when we decide that things are not going the way we planned, and that's because God's ways are higher, God's thoughts are higher. He is an amazing God. He is amazing, because when we're looking for him and he shows up in overalls and work clothes, we don't seem to recognize him, you know, and it becomes imperative that we not only recognize him, but we know his voice. With that we know his voice beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we spent so much time with him that even if he whispers, we hear it and we know his voice. Wow. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is absolutely faithful, because that's who he is. He's is just awesome. We want to look at this right quick, and it says, the person who gathers wealth by unjust means is like the partridge that broods over eggs but does not hatch them. Before his life is half over, he will lose his ill-gotten gains. At the end of his life, it will be clear he was a fool. And I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves, who is the fool? What wisdom God wants to impart to us and give to us in terms of being wise and faithful stewards? Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make their nest in its shade. And then he says in Luke 16:10, he says, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large things. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Wow. The word is powerful. The word is powerful. Actually, money is morally neutral, but powerful. If the person who has money is evil, it will likely be used to promote evil. But if the person who has money is good, it will likely be used for good. Money gives you more chances and allows you to make them faster. In the life of someone who is not prepared to handle riches, it can easily become destructive. God's will is that every single person always have enough, not only to meet their every need, but also sufficient to share with others. The reason this is not happening is because the devil has stolen from us for so long that we get used to it. We think it's part and partial of it. And not able to discern when God is teaching us a lesson or allowing us to go through a lesson and learning to be content in whatever state we are in when we're bound and when we're having more than enough. And in those seasons of that contentment, to recognize that it may be a lesson, it may be a test that you're going through, and to just hang in there. And allow God be God. Know God's way of prosperity. God's way of prosperity is best. He lays it out plain that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add all things unto us. Seek first his kingdom because he wants you to be in health even as your soul prospers. He wants that God kind of peace that literally, just like shalom, nothing's broken, nothing's missing. You're whole, you're complete, spirit, soul, and body. And if he needs you to be a blessing with what he's given to you, be obedient. And may God prosper you in everything you do in Jesus' name. Prosperity, God's way. Amen.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because he is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before him and lay down our lives before him and just lift up our hearts and thank him.